the extreme of this would be for us to say there's a demon behind every door or in every corner. And I don't think we're saying that. I think in the business space, some things are the created order. Like if you drop a glass, it breaks. These are just like, these are natural laws that are in place. But, you know, that First John passage tells us that the whole earth is under the ruling sway of the evil one. So there definitely are areas of your business and your industry where darkness is present. And it's important for you to be able to see those, because your job is to be a child of light and for your marketplace impact to be the bringing of light. Welcome to the Brand Disciples Podcast. We are calling a generation of entrepreneurs to be on mission as we equip the church to disciple them. I'm David Mills, and I am wired to touch the world like Jesus by helping people connect to his mission and take new steps toward him. I really love to live on the margin between the church and the marketplace. And I'm joined by Amy Alexander.
Hey there. I love seeing people inside and outside the church walls empowered to be on mission every single day. I'm gifted to display Jesus to the world as I teach what's true and shepherd people in their journey. Let's do it.
Yeah, we've identified something very cool in the Bible, in the New Testament. They're called the hidden business codes. And these are actually a set of household codes that were written to households by multiple apostles. But because there was no corporate business structure at this time, these were also business codes. They would have had direct implications and instruction for the way that businesses were being run, because they were being run by the heads of households. So we're talking about those, and we've been diving in. We've talked about how a business should be viewed as an economic household. We've also talked about how these codes and the way of Jesus was to first convert the heart, not to necessarily radically change society without converting the heart. So that's an important point. We've also talked about how these codes are really counterculture, in part by how they lend dignity to groups of people that were being treated in a lower class kind of way. And I want to spend some more time today talking about something we really touched on last week. I think it's really worth talking about, because each of these business codes in the New Testament, they are prefaced by a discussion about the culture and the kind of lifestyle that believers were supposed to live in their family and in their business. And so last week, we talked about the culture that really our business should lead people to be getting free from immorality, from greed, and for things that will move people away and stop them from being able to have a relationship with God. But the last section we talked about last week a little bit talked about three really big ideas. The idea in your business related to being a business that brings light to the world, and then also about wisdom. And then the last one is about being drunk versus filled with the Spirit. So I don't think we're going to get to all three of these today, but let's dive in and let's start with talking about this idea of light. And so maybe, Amy, you could read this. This is Ephesians 5, when it talks about, starting in verse 8, talks about this. So let's read this passage again and think about what does it mean about light. And you could probably stop after verse 14.
All right. So Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
So really interesting ideas here about light, and it's something that we should be thinking about. So it does speak to the overall impact and culture that a business should have on the community and people that it engages with. It says we were once in darkness, but we're now a child of light. So we have to understand part of our perspective as people that are in the workplace, in the marketplace, is that we are working in a world of darkness. And that falls out in a couple ways. One is, you know, that people who do not have faith in Christ, they are actually spiritually blinded. And they may want to do spiritual stuff. They might have spiritual things that they think they're doing, but the Bible's really clear that they are actually walking in darkness. And I think sometimes we miss that. We miss this idea that like the people we're working with, they can understand the Bible just as well as we can. No, that's not true. Because the truth is illuminated and it's taught by the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us. And if we've resisted, we push the Holy Spirit away. Romans 1 says we like people push down the truth. And so people have pushed away the truth. And so they actually are spiritually blind.
It's interesting when you walk into any room at a coffee shop or into Target or whatever, maybe not Target, maybe you're boycotting Target. It's hard to say, and you see someone that you think, I bet they know Jesus. There is something actually physical sometimes about the presence of the Spirit, and that permeates through everything we do, through everything we are. Sometimes it's visible. We had the chance to go over to the Magnolia silos recently. And the very first place we went, of course, was to get coffee because I am addicted. And that day we were traveling. I didn't have any makeup on. I was in a t-shirt and jeans. I was momming it real hard. And I walk up to this really sweet barista. She is stunningly beautiful. She's the kind of beautiful that makes you go, whoa, I forgot people could be that pretty. And I'm thinking to myself how pretty she is. And then she looks at me and she says, you are so beautiful. You just have the prettiest face. And I was like, first of all, what? You have no business telling me I'm beautiful. I'm thinking you're the one who's just like stunningly beautiful. But I think that's an interaction sometimes Christians have. And I later thought to myself, I bet she was a Christian. I bet we both knew Jesus, and I bet we saw this light in each other. And there was a piece of her that was so full of light that she could even reflect it back to you, right? And say, you're full of light too. You're beautiful. It was a really cool experience. That's what this makes me think of a little bit.
Yeah. I think sometimes we have expectations of people that they, like, we think they should know better or they should understand. And I think the idea that understanding that people are actually spiritually blind, it should help us to have a little more compassion about, like, their actual condition. Until that light turns on, and that it's a faith light, right? Soon, when that faith is exercised and they trust in Jesus, the light comes on, and there's things they can see that they could never see before. And I think we miss that about our culture. We think that everyone, it's just an information game. We tell more people the information about God or the gospel, therefore they know, therefore they could be saved. It's like, it's not mental assent. It's actual spiritual perception that changes. Yeah.
In the biblical imagination, often light was also connected to the eyes and like light in your eyes. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about this idea that there's light in your eyes or darkness in your eyes. And we've all met people who had a dimness in their eyes. And sometimes it's spiritual and sometimes it's physical and sometimes it's both. But you're right. For people who have actually, again, it can express itself even physically. There's a dimness in their eyes. There's a dimness in their heart. They cannot see the way we see. We can't expect that of them. But I do think sometimes they can see that we have light in our eyes. There is this polarity between the two.
There is. And I think we have to be like sober about this and recognize that if you're in the marketplace, you are working around people who are completely spiritually blind. Some are very immature in their faith and they have a little bit of vision, a little bit of spiritual insight. And some have a lot, right? And so it changes the way we look at people. I think the second thing that this speaks to, we were once in darkness, now we're children of light. Our culture, the industry that you're in, whatever that industry is has been shaped by darkness. And I know that doesn't sound very nice. There's a passage in Acts 26, and Paul's talking about, this is when he's telling the story about when he was knocked off the donkey. And he says, Jesus said to him, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you and appoint you as a servant and a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. A lot of vision words in there. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them for this reason, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. And then in 1 John 5:19, it says, we know that we are children of God and the world around us is under the control of the evil one. So there is this darkness that people need to be saved from, but it does infect our actual industry. So our culture has shaped the industry that you work in ways that have created darkness in the way that business is being done. And so I think that something else we have to be aware of is that there are things about your industry that are actually very dark. And they may not feel evil to you. They may feel normal in your industry, but that does not mean that they're influenced by light. They may be things of darkness that have crept in. And so I think about, I work with a lot of salespeople, and there's a lot of kind of experiences that salespeople have that are really brutal. Mm-hmm. And not only the way they're treated by their clients, but often by the way they're treated by their management, the expectations that are put on them. Some of that is actually shaped by darkness. So yeah. I think it's a big deal. I think we miss it a lot. We're not really aware of it in our own industry.
Part of what's challenging about it is that it can be really muddy water. The other day, one of my kids was asking me, why can't I serve Satan and Jesus? In her mind, if she could be friends with Satan, then he could know Jesus, and then we could all just get along. That's what she told me. So I'm trying to help her understand, why is this the one instance in which we can't just love? We have to actually be hard after Jesus and completely turn away from Satan. So we were by a bathroom, a dark room. I turned the light on and I said, what happens when it's light in here? Can it be both light in here and dark? She says, no. I'm like, okay, that's exactly the same way. We can't serve Satan and Jesus. And that's a really great analogy for a five-year-old who can think in black and white terms. But the truth is that in that room, if we really spent time talking about it, which I did not, there were still dark corners and shadowed parts, and there was light shining, but there was still darkness in there. And that is the reality of being in the here, but not yet. The here and now, the kingdom's here, but it's not yet. We're bringing light wherever we go, but there's still shadows being cast. There's still dark corners. And I don't know, I suspect, especially in the business world, we get really used to squinting. We just get so used to dim lighting, and we think, isn't the fluorescent lighting of this office what it's supposed to look like? Then you pull back the shades and see the light of the sun and realize, oh, that was never what light looked like. So I do think there is an intentionality that is required to actually inspect, actually open up your eyes and decide, is this actually what light is like?
That's good. The extreme of this would be for us to say there's a demon behind every door or in every corner. And I don't think we're saying that. I think in the business space, some things are the created order. Like if you drop a glass, it breaks. If you treat people poorly, sell them bad products, give them bad service, they don't come back and they say bad things about you, right? These are natural laws that are in place. And so some parts of industries are just based on natural law of how things actually work, right? Tires are supposed to be round. We don't sell square tires because the more rubber on the tire, the more friction it causes, right? So these laws, so we're not talking about everything in your industry is full of darkness, but we are, that 1 John passage tells us that the whole earth is under the ruling sway of the evil one. So there definitely are areas of your business and your industry where darkness is present. And it's important for you to be able to see those, because your job is to be a child of light. And for your business, your workplace expression, your marketplace impact, to be the bringing of light. And as you said, Amy, there's different degrees of light. We have fluorescence, we have high beams on our cars, and then we have a full sunny day. And it's a whole different deal. So sometimes we can get stuck in this idea that just because it works in the industry, or it works to help me grow my business, it must be okay. But I'll tell you, I've had a lot of interactions with people that maybe it worked for them, but it sure didn't work for me. So how do we sort this out? How do we identify these areas?
Yeah. We certainly went through our own self-discovery season as we thought about our marketing agency. I think we knew from day one, we used to be a large agency with lots of team members, and we knew from day one we didn't want the New York style agency. We knew from day one that forcing graphic designers to work overnight to meet ridiculous demands from clients was not the type of agency we were going to be. But there were many things we didn't evaluate. And it took us a lot of years to shine some light on, as you're talking about, common practices, to realize, oh, that's actually just manipulation, is what that is. And even though it brings the clicks or it brings the clients, it doesn't mean I want to be paid to do that, because that's actually really just not from God. And so there's a ton of things in marketing that are there. Maybe you don't do dark design. Dark design is when you help someone accidentally buy something, or you help someone accidentally get somewhere. It's actually purposefully building a journey that is nefarious to get them to do something they never wanted to do. But even if you're doing, again, the ethical thing, we talk about the difference between ethical business and redemptive business. Just because you're doing the ethical thing doesn't mean you're doing the redemptive thing. And sometimes the devil's in the details, very literally, right? Like his half-truths, the way that Satan has half-truths, is very real in quote-unquote ethical business. We do the things the way that the world says is ethical. It's still only a half-truth. We're still doing pieces of that, not the way that the kingdom of heaven does them. And what would happen if we turned that light on a little brighter, or we pointed it toward that corner? Maybe it's not fully dark, but it's at least dim. What would happen if that corner of that part of our business was actually bright and light and redemptive? How much would that change people's lives? And that, I think, takes a little bit of, as opposed to condemnation, which is not how the Holy Spirit works, it's instead conviction toward better. It takes dreaming and imagination and co-creation with God to say, oh, when you said you wanted me to be in charge of this world, and you put me here and you said you get to work and rule, this could be really fun. And we could actually come up with something really incredible for people's lives. But it takes a bit to get in that space, don't you think?
So Jesus said that he came to destroy the works of the devil. And as we think about our role as light bringers, there are places in our industry where you get the opportunity, like the joy, of doing something that's really counterculture, that's different than what the culture is doing. And I do think it takes some prayerful introspection and looking at things in a new way. But just think about a couple of areas. One is the ways that people are hired in your industry. What are the things in the hiring practices or the employment practices or the gig worker practices? And we're going to talk some more about that in the business codes, because there's some very direct instruction about it. But what are these things in employment area that are baked in darkness? I think another one would be, what about the ways that customers are interacted with? They're treated or mistreated or taken advantage of in an industry. Those are things we should be thinking about. Here's some other things, like, does your industry operate based upon scarcity and fear? So bringing the light to that means you're going to do the opposite, right? You're going to build trust and serve with generosity. If your industry operates based on pressure-filled tactics, like, what's the opposite of that? What's the light? If your industry just uses people up, what's the opposite of that? How does light come into that? If, you know, a big one for a lot of industries is a lack of loyalty among employees and customers. And so what's the light do there? How do you create loyalty relationships that are actually not based upon some kind of manipulation, but based upon trust? And I think the big question here, when we think about light and you being a light bringer in your business, is what does it mean in your particular industry for you to be someone who is bringing light? And what does that look like practically? And so there is a passage in verse 9, it says that the fruit of light, and these are like specifics, like here's what light would look like. It consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. So these are three characteristics that light should be bringing: goodness, righteousness, and truth. So goodness refers to basically uprightness in your heart and life. It implies moral and spiritual excellence. So we say it in church, God is good. And then the refrain is all the time, right? So what mm-hmm. does that mean? What does the goodness of God mean in your industry? What does it look like? Mm. The second thing it means that light is, the fruit of light is righteousness. And righteousness refers to like right relationships. So what would righteousness look like in your industry? How do we understand righteousness more deeply, Amy?
Righteousness is right relationship with God and with others. It is at its core what it looks like. I mean, Abraham, who, if you just read it one time, you'd discover Abraham was a messed up dude. And he was really in wrong relationship with a lot of people a lot of the time. He made a really bad choices for his wives, for his kids. However, God counted him as righteous because Abraham chose to trust God, which means that he applied right relationship, the standing of right relationship with God and with others to Abraham despite himself. And so I think one thing that teaches us is that part of our relationship has to do with trusting true creator God, right? And being full of grace. Mm-hmm. Operating in grace, because grace has abundantly been given to us, that we might even be in right standing with God at all. And
forgiveness, yeah. How does forgiveness work its way into your business and your workplace experience? Yeah. The last one here is truth. And this Greek word, it really means reality versus illusion. So light brings reality versus illusions. We see reality from the perspective that we live in a created world that is sustained by our creator. That's our perception on reality. And the physical world is not the highest order of reality. The physical world was created by the spiritual. And so truth has to include spiritual reality. And so how does that work its way into your business? So clearly, it can't be that your business is based on deceptive practices or false information or withholding information from people. But then there is this deeper level of truth about, like, we give glory to our creator. We honor him. We honor others because they were created by him as well. So truth works its way. And so I think, like, you should be asking the question in your industry, what does goodness, righteousness, and truth actually look like? What would it look like if you had a business that reflected God's goodness, the right relationships that come because he is in the mix, and reality instead of illusion?
One thing that's so interesting about our time is our ability to influence people from literally anywhere on the globe at any given moment. In our industry of marketing, we use developers. And currently, we use a team. Many of those team members are living in India. And they have, in India, they have no tension with work-life balance. Like in America, we're all about work-life balance and like, how can I make sure I have unlimited leave at my job? And how can I get off early all the time? And how can I have long weekends? And how can I make sure I'm spending time with my family? All that stuff. They have no tension with this. It's not even they just have accepted, there's just no work-life balance here. No, they just don't even, this is not even a topic of conversation. They don't care. And so that means that my developers are super happy to work overnight, to skip their plans, to cancel their evening, to do whatever it is I've asked of them. But I have a huge problem with that. And so much of my relationship with my development team has been me trying to force them into a rhythm that is much healthier. In development, it's really common for developers, development teams, to have to work over the weekend, work overnight, work late, because people have, if your website's down, like, it has to be fixed right now. If there's an error, it has to be fixed right now. And so I just spend a lot of time, a lot of intentionality, as does one of our colleagues that helps run them as well. We just spend a lot of time talking to our development team and setting boundaries for them, because we want them to live in a way that is healthy. We want to bring them in. What does it look like to spend time with your family at night? And I don't know. But for me, that's like it's a boundary line I'm just not willing to cross, that typically in our industry people cross. And the truth of that, like the truth of, I think for what it communicates to them that they don't typically hear is, hey, you matter. You are valued. I remember one interaction I had with one of them. Now I can't remember exactly what we said, but basically I had to say, hey, I'm telling you thank you because you matter and because you did a good job. It's like he could barely even accept that I might spend time to honor him because he's a vendor and he just doesn't matter. But in my world, he matters a lot. So there's all these little kind of things get communicated in the way that you operate, I think.
Mm. Those are really good examples. And that's the kind of thought that I think people need to put into understanding how, you know, darkness and light are in their industry and in their own business. There is in this passage about light, Paul adds this little poem, which is really interesting. He's talking about light and how we need to shine in the darkness. Paul says to them, that's why it's said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And so no one really knows exactly where this passage came from. It could be that it's like a couple of combination of things from Isaiah. It could be it's similar to what is said during the Feast of Trumpets by Jewish communities. But probably the most likely is that this is probably like a modern song or a hymn that's being sung by Christians during this time. But it's really interesting because it does speak to this idea that Paul, in Ephesians 4, Paul brings in the ascension of Christ. And so really, he's referring to the resurrection of Christ, both bodily after his crucifixion. He's also referring to the second coming of Christ. But he's really making a promise here that if we will get the sleep out of our eyes and we will get up out of the darkness, that the light of Christ is going to show up like in our lives. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're supposed to be doing as business leaders. We're supposed to wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So as we take steps toward this, we can really be confident that God's going to show up in powerful ways in our life. And we're going to see the light do like really crazy stuff because the light is really powerful for us. And we have a lot to look forward to here. If we embrace the fact that we are children of light and that light is in us and can come through us, and it can change and reshape industries and cultures and communities and the lives of employees and customers. And sometimes it's very overt talking about spiritual truth. Sometimes it's less overt and it's more about talking about life priorities and things that we want to do different. So I guess my challenge, the takeaway from our conversation today is I think people should spend some time thinking about really practically, what does light look like in your industry? And where can you dispel, displace, and replace things that have been influenced by darkness? And this is not like a marketing pitch. We're more ethical than everybody else. Everyone says that, right? It's not about that. It's about actually being light and shining in the darkness.
There's something here in this poem that for me hyperlinks directly back to the Abrahamic blessing, right? May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. And that face shine upon you has to do with Moses going up and actually having the light of God on his face as he came down. He's literally glowing from time spent with God. To me, it's like a New Testament sort of modern twist on that. It's like they took that Abrahamic blessing and said, this is what it is when Jesus shines his face on you. But all that to say, as we attach to that legacy and that heritage that's been passed on to us from generation to generation in our business, there is actually real blessing that will occur in the lives of not only your life, but in the life of the people that you serve along with and you serve in your company. And that's an exciting prospect.
And so what unlocks that is this idea of waking up. And the world wants to lull us to sleep, wants to get us to close our eyes and be to squint and to not see things as they are. But as we wake up and we focus our eyes on him, that light, just imagine that light, the light that was on Moses, it transformed him. We have that in the New Testament as well, talking about the light of God and how it changes us. It'll change you. It'll change your family. It'll change your business. It's been a good conversation today, Amy. Thanks for your insights, and look forward to next week. We're going to talk about this idea of wisdom that's in this section and how does wisdom find its way into our business. So
sounds great. We'll see you guys next week.